All right, class, welcome to Living by the Book. You can open up to John chapter 1. We're going to do a little flipping tonight with John chapter 1. It's one of our basic scriptures. And I know in your book it may not stress it the way that I do. There's a lot of great information in the book, and we will touch on it some, because I love the way it tells you how to study and how to begin to study the word, the perspective that you should have. One of the things I love about the book, too, it tells you to take things into context. Context is making sure, we learn this in English as well, when in elementary school and grammar school, is you have to learn the context. You have to know what becomes before and what after the thing that you're looking at to really understand what's going on. I also like that it says use your imagination. One of the things that has opened up the scriptures to me is me putting myself in the story. Like one of the great ones, and we went over it, Apostle was teaching on it about angels, and he said, and this actual story has been going through my mind for the longest, and I put myself in the story and put myself there and used my imagination when they were coming against, they're coming to get Elisha, because he was telling the king of Israel what was going on in the king of Syria's, all the king of Syria's plans, and they said he knows what's going on in your bedroom, man, like he telling them everything. So he sent a host of army to come get him. And the young man was with Elisha, and he said, man, what are we going to do? It's just us two, and all these armies come and get us. And Elisha told the boy, there are more with us than are with them. And he said, Lord, open his eyes so we can see. And the boy's eyes were open, and you could see a host of chariots and fire and wars all around that surrounded around the people that were coming around him. And then I like reading the context, because I knew that story, but I never really read the context. I read the context. And what happens is he asks the Lord to give eyesight to the boy that was with him, and strikes blind those that were coming towards him. So he didn't smite the army. He didn't ask God to use your angel to smite them. He said, strike them blind so that they can't see nothing. And then he led them to the king of Israel. And he even asked, should I kill him? He said, no. He said, give them food and water. Give them a feast so that they can go back to their master. Just watching the nuance of how God works, but just using your imagination and putting it in there, it's amazing to ask, you know, what day is it? Who is he talking to? Those things are important. Many times in the Word of God, we like to take scriptures and then we run off in a text, or we run off in a message, or we run off in some kind of mind frame or understanding, and we don't even know the context of what's being said. Even breaking down to who he's talking to, why is he talking to him this way, why does he talk to these people this way, but talk to these people this way. You know, which way is the wind blowing, right? Where are they? Like, all of those things matter when you're reading the scriptures. And so I love it, because it gives context to the words and the conversation, even the tone of voice sometimes. You can pick up based on the context of the scripture. So I love it. But in John chapter 1, and I've read this before, but I'll read it again. In the beginning was the Word, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So now the Word, in the beginning was the Word. Living by the book, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, all right? Let me go further down, and this is our favorite scripture. Verse 14, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this is speaking of Jesus, but it's also speaking of God the Father becoming flesh in Jesus, right, as the Word. So the Word was made flesh. Say it real quick, the Word is made flesh. Now that's going to be the template for everything that we ever say about the scripture or the Word, because if it's not made flesh, then it's not alive. There's another scripture that says, the letter itself killeth, the spirit giveth life, right? John 6:63 says, it's the spirit that quickeneth, or it makes it alive. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, they are alive. They are word in the flesh. They're not just ink on the page or pictures on an iPad, but it's actually alive, living. If the word is not living, then it's not really the word. So I wanna give that context to this, because many times, even in John chapter 5, verse 39, you've heard me say it before, he says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But you won't come to me that you have eternal life. In other words, he's saying, you can search the scriptures, but they're testifying of a real life, a real alive being and a real alive function. I love Jesus. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law or the prophets, but I came to fulfill it. I'm showing you what it looks like live, walking around you in real D, not 3D, not 4D, in real, in the flesh, right in front of you. And so whenever we're referring Jesus, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus makes everything else in the scripture come alive. If you don't see it through Christ's eyes, it'll just be a dead principle or something that you're trying to believe for, or some kind of confession or some kind of devotion, and it'll never become alive in your flesh. Now, I'll tell you the truth, and I'll give you a secret ahead of time. You are the Word in the flesh. You are the living Word. Everything that God is on the inside of you. But we've been tricked, we've been fooled, the tree of knowledge and evil, and we've separated Word from being. We separated Word from flesh, and so now we're trying to take our live being and do the Word, when actually we are the Word. The only thing we can do in correlation with the Word is be it. This keeps you from just going through the moral jargon or the confession jargon, but actually activating God and all that He is in you as you. Are you hearing me? So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It eliminates excuses. It eliminates, even when Jesus is talking, and I don't have time to go to every scripture He's doing, but even when He's talking just to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or some of the scribes, He's speaking things that they hadn't seen before. Even when John the Baptist was talking before, when He had to baptize Him, you know, John the Baptist was talking kind of strong, talking about He's going to purge the floor with you and do all these things. And when Jesus comes, He starts saying, if they ask you to go a mile with Him, go two. Right? They slap you on one cheek, turn the other. Right, He's showing what the Word in the flesh looks like. It's no longer a written thing that you're trying to follow and you're feeling at, but it's actually a live thing that's expected of you in the flesh. So now we know, when we see the Word, we see the Word made flesh. When we see the Word, we're seeing Jesus. We're not just seeing, you know, a scripture or a text or a page on a book, but we're actually making it alive. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Go over to Matthew chapter 4 real quick. And I mean, with this conversation and with this mentality, you know, for the sake of semester and the classes, we'll continue to have this conversation, because faith comes by hearing and hearing. But, you know, even taking that, what I just said, as a template for your forward progress or your lifestyle in the Word or studying the Word, it changes everything. I mean, it opens up the whole scripture. More than we've seen, because we see that Jesus is the Word. Watch this. For context, I'll read Matthew chapter 4, start off verse 1. This is right after Jesus gets baptized. He says, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now catch me. Verse 4, but He answered and said, Jesus answered and said, it is written, watch this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now it's funny, the proceeding out of the mouth of God, what is it now? You know, normally in church we say, well, God gonna speak to you, or God spoke to you, but sometimes God speaks as you. Sometimes the preceding word is the word that comes out of your mouth, right? Not just as audible, but just as a being. Right now, without a shadow of doubt, with no conversation, with no doubt, with no fear, with no anxiety, with no worry, with no need for belief, with no need for pressing faith, with no need for anointing and glory, I can sit here in the camera and look at you and tell you out of my mouth that I am Donovan Montrell Thompson. There's no doubt about it in my mind. But see, Donovan Montrell Thompson is only the audible that you're hearing. It's only the thing that's written on the page. But those letters that are written on the page represent me. Catch me now. Those letters that are written on my license, right? And even there's a picture on there, or your birth certificate, or your social security card, or sometimes contracts that you may have, or things that you have signed for, right? Or when you sign your name on your check, right? All those things are representation of the live flesh person in you. The Word is made flesh. There actually are no words without flesh being involved. How would there be? Who would hear them? How would they say them? Right? Who would write them? There are no words. So the word, in the beginning, God said and there was. So in the beginning, if you go back and look, and we won't have time to go there, but in Genesis, if you go read it, God said, let there be light, and there was, right? He didn't write down, let there be light, and then bleed for light to happen. God said, and there was. But the only reason it was like God said is because he was speaking who he was into existence. He's the light. John 1 talks about he's the light, and the light is all men. God said, let there be, and there was. There was no separation between the actual live functioning of something and the thing that was said. Now, the trouble that you and I have now in the age that we live in is that we can say a lot of things and not see a lot of things. I mean, this is the invention of lying, where you can say something that is not necessarily real. But even with us, we can claim and we can pray and we can talk and we can say all these different things and not see the things that we say, which makes us believe that there's a separation between word and life. Right? So to take it back to God, take it back to the beginning, take it back to Jesus. Jesus is a restart of mankind. And the word was made flesh. Again, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. There was not anything made that was not made by, right? And then it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. It's taking it from being on the page or in the verbal audio that you're hearing into a real live right here manifested being. And then you manifest beings. He answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now you got to understand, I just explained to you that the preceding word of God is a live thing. God said there was. God said there was. God said there was. What has God said about you? See, we got to find out the identity of who we are. The word, the whole Bible, you've heard me say this before, the Bible is a story about you. And you, in your mind, and learn this, determine what place you're playing. Who are you in the scripture? And then Jesus shows you who you really are. In these red words, it shows you who you really are. Man shall not live by bread alone. So he's not living by the outward thing to sustain him or to come in. But he's living by every word. You are the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It's talking about a live being, a live offspring of God. And it's funny in this conversation because I can read it on, but you know, the enemy knows the scripture. Because he knows the scripture better than you. I don't care how many scriptures you think you know. He's been around longer than you. He in conscience, he knows the scripture better than you. He starts quoting, even in verse, I noticed this last night, Psalms 91:12, right? Let me go over and read it real quick. Psalms 91, and I'm gonna show you why the scripture 91:12, right? And it says, they shall bear thee up in their hands. He's talking about, let me go to verse 11. Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Verse 12, for they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You see that? Now we shout about that. Watch this, Matthew 4. Matthew 4, I want to say verse, let's see. Matthew 4, and it's verse 6. Now let me do verse 5 context. You know, verse 4, he answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil take him up into the holy city and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, watch this, how you know the scriptures, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now he, because it's written, he can read. So we understand that your reading of the scripture doesn't set you apart from anybody. For it is written. Remember that was Psalms 91:12. He said, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. He's reading verse 11. He's quoting Psalms 91. The devil, the enemy, the tempter, is quoting Psalms 91, 11 and 12 right here. And his angels shall give thee charge, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. He doggone said it verbatim. He quoting the scripture better than we quote them. Right? Jesus, knowing who he is speaking again. He said, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the last time he tell him, get hence, for thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and thy God only. But Jesus is able to stand his ground because he knows who he is. And who he is not based on what was written. What was written is based on who he is. Catch the polarity change. Catch the flip. That you've been trying to read the scripture to follow the instructions. When you need to understand it, when you read the scriptures, it tells you what you already have. It tells you who you already are. And it eliminates the lie that you've been told about who you are. See, we only function the way that we do because we believe something that somebody has taught us. And we have faith for that. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is several different branches now in education and medicine and entertainment and even in religion, there's several different branches of the tree of knowledge of good and evil right now. And it has deceived us from the simplicity that is in Christ. It has deceived us from the simplicity that is in us, in Christ, in us. The hope of glory. And so when I read the word of God is really talking about the flesh of God, had the flesh, the makeup, the buildup of God, the character of God is really telling me who I am in God. And it's exposing. You should know the truth, and the truth of what? Not set. Don't you say that. Not set you free. It'll make you free. Right? The word of God, the scripture, exposes the lie. It exposes the lie about who you are, not just about what you have, not just the benefits that you can benefit from, but it exposes the lie about you've been lied to, you've been bamboozled, you've been run amok. That's what they say, right? You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok. You've been lied to, right? And Jesus in the scripture tells you the truth about who you are and shows you the truth about the way that you really are, tells you where the kingdom of God is on the inside of you, and then it exposes the lie. Right? And fortifies the truth in you as you. Right? But you got to come to Jesus. Remember now, we can't have this scripture without having Jesus. This is a problem with a lot of the ones in the law. The ones that still believe in the old law are the ones that don't accept Jesus as Savior. They want the works and they want everything that goes along with it, but they will not accept him in the flesh. Now, they don't understand that all he's saying is, it's you too. You remember the scripture in Luke when he says, they asked him, where's the kingdom of heaven? He said, kingdom of God comes not with observation. No, they said, low here, low there. Then he says, the kingdom of God is within you. He's not talking to a bunch of church people, all holy people, all his followers. He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the one that claim they don't believe in anything that he says. Then he begins to tell them, yo, the kingdom of God is within you. It is a live being. So the John 1:14 has so much volume to it. We skirt over it and read over it really quick, but it has so much volume, it becomes a key that unlocks everything. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now when I read it, I'm reading about me. Now when I'm reading, I'm reading about who I am. I'm reading about the ability. Every time I see Jesus do something, I see what I can do. Every time I see Jesus say something, I see what I should be saying. Every time I see Jesus think something, I see what I should be thinking. Every time I see Jesus respond to a situation in a certain way, I see how I should be responding, because this is who I am. I am the Word in the flesh. Amen. That's in the class. That, take that and study it. Take that and study it. Wow. Take that and study it. That's a lot in a short amount of time. Take that and study it. It begins to unlock where we're going and who we are. And we'll have some conversations about it. Amen.